Om Shanti. Good morning. How are we this morning? Are we shining bright stars? Yeah. Do you have translation? Oh yeah, you do have translation. Good. How many people do we have today? We keep dwindling. The brightest stars are here. I think there's some that went for their ring ceremony, yeah. So they'll probably join us, you know, around 10:30. Unless they're so intoxicated they forget. Which sometimes happens, yeah. So it's the last day today. Yay! How is your self-esteem? Awesome. So I want you to keep that thought, how is my self-esteem, in mind, and what you learned over the last 3 days. Okay? Because we'll do an activity a little later this morning where you get to reflect on what you're taking away, and then you get to share. Okay? So I'm giving you a little heads up ahead of time so you have time to reflect. And how many people here missed day two? Would it be okay if we started by reviewing the automatic negative thought, the ANT worksheet? Would that be okay? I had that thought when I realized that the ring ceremony was this morning. So I thought, why don't we do that? And for those of you that it's a repeat, I apologize, but hopefully you get something out of it. I won't dwell on it too long, but I think there's value to looking at that sheet. Is that okay? Good. Any questions before I kind of jump in here? So it is session 4, and today's session, you need a handle? Yeah, come. Everybody have a handout? There's handouts from 1, 2, 3, and 4, so all 4 sessions. Okay. Because I have extra, so don't be shy. Okay. So session 4, we want to look again at visualizing, do a visualization of valuing. We want to review the value of the inner child. So today is all about value and virtue, not about the heaviness of our Tamil Pradhan thinking. It is actually about value and virtue. So valuing those parts of ourselves that are sensitive, because it's a very honest place. And honesty is one of those lovely virtues that I think is fundamental to the foundation of our spiritual practice. And so we're going to look at that. And then to learn more about dealing with sorrow, well, we'll review the ANTS worksheet. And we're going to acknowledge in this process of what we've done over the last few days, it is really important to acknowledge and accept that we do have sorrow that we're still getting rid of, so that we're not denying it, right? Cloak of God's love. Doesn't that sound lovely? A cloak, like a cape, of God's love. There's so many different ways that we can think about receiving God's love. A rain of knowledge, rays of sunshine. And this is a cloak. And Sister Diane, who was one of the main people who developed this program, she's from USA, and she was a psychologist in her Lockett work. So drama and Baba worked that little magic there, and we have this program. So then we're going to reinforce the no of comparison. We do touch on a little bit of comparison, and there's kind of a cute little scenario in there that I share with you about comparison. Because comparison is something we did in the Copper and Iron Age. It's not something that we use in the Golden Age. So we have to stop thinking this way. We have to change our intellect to a forward-thinking, pure, I wanted to say desirable, but that's not the right word. You want that vision. You want a visionary thinking. You want to be more in the now. Do you remember yesterday we talked about the now? And you want, you know, did you guys all go to the panel discussion last night? Yeah? Wasn't it amazing? After the true self-esteem? I was like, I think Bubba was sitting here eavesdropping and then he touched their intellects. Yeah. He does that, you know. Have you ever had a conversation with another Brahmin and then you go to Murli class and he talks about something that you just talked about? So I liked what Sister Gopi said about not thinking. Because it's something we talked about yesterday, and there was a few souls during the break and at the end that came and spoke to me individually, and they were asking about the being. And for half a kalpa now, we've been human doings, and we have to get back to being. And so we really, really have to work on the quality of thought. We only want automatic thoughts that serve divinity, that bring me into a present moment of being. That's a goal. That angelic state. An angel doesn't think. An angel is. A deity moves through their day with such divine grace and essence there that leaves no trace. That purity leaves no trace. So, we recognize how dense or heavy our thoughts are. So we want to practice deepening our inner silence, our inner peace, right? And we have to look at the quality of our thoughts in order to do that, right? And so no comparisons. Learn more about the mechanism behind the internal power. So the internal power, we're going to look at the eight powers, and we have a fun little activity for you to do. So it's not heavy or anything, but it's kind of fun. And recognize where spiritual power comes in to elicit this change. In my full essence, I am a powerful spiritual being, right? And so, restoration of all the spiritual power. Then my thinking will become pure. So we got to work on it from both ends, right? Baba says knowledge and yoga. Knowledge and yoga. Knowledge and yoga. Understand the right action affects the soul and our self-esteem. So whatever we put into action prior to whatever we're doing, we've had a thought. So where thought goes, energy flows. Where energy flows, life grows, Have you heard this saying? So, it's the quality of our thoughts. If I stay focused on something, did everybody enjoy the idli this morning at breakfast? I didn't realize how much of a labor of love that dish is. Did you know that those little idlis are a fermented dish? So the kitchen has to make it the day before. They have to start it the day before. And they mix these ingredients together, and then they have to let it sit so that it ferments. And then once it's fermented, then they have to put it in these dishes and then steam it to get these little delicious little balls of joy. And then the coconut chutney, well, that is so delightful, right? But this is all a labor of love. And I never stopped, like, I was kind of saying to Baba recently, you know, we offer bhog, Baba. And I'm trying to understand ritual versus, like, really, you know, the change that I'm trying to make. But this morning, then it the penny dropped, right? It was like everything that we do, the right action for the right reason in the right time. And so the Italy story is really about, are my actions coming from a loving, peaceful, vibrant, spiritual place? Or is it coming from a place of lack? So if I'm feeling sad and not very good, what do I choose to do? Do I phone a friend? Do I sit in Baba's room? Maybe I can't concentrate, so I can't sit in Baba's room. So do I go for a walk? or eating? Yes. Or coffee? Coffee? Is this like this in your countries too? Go for coffee? No, the sister's saying, and it doesn't really help, but she's giggling while she's saying it. But we do, we look for these, even if they're innocent and subtle. Like as a Brahmin, it's okay to go for a cup of coffee. But it's a temporary enjoyment, right? And so it might help to get me out of that thinking so that then I can sit in yoga or I can go for a walk with Baba. And so what is my consciousness in everything that I do? So right action. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I'm just going to escape out of this one. And, oh, I need glasses. I need right vision. Here we go. So here we have the Beyond Ants worksheet, and you do have this in your packs. So if you could go to your pack, it's session 2, page 7. And it's worksheet 2.1. So the quality of my thoughts. The quality of my thoughts. So why do we have a worksheet? So the ants is automatic negative thoughts. So with automatic negative thoughts, there's something that it's a thought that happens automatically after an experience or an event. So in this, for the purpose of this worksheet, we're going to say event. So an event happens. I can't get a job at my level. So right there I would say the event is I've been looking for work and I haven't been able to find work in my field of study. Okay? So that's the event. So a lot of times, like when you think, oh, I've been looking for work and I can't find work, then what's the feeling? Yeah, not so good, right? So we think, oh, not being able to find a job is making me sad. But back up. Let's catch the negative thought that happened before the feeling. And that is, the automatic negative thought here might be, I'm not good enough. I'm not what they want. Why doesn't anybody want to hire me? What do I need to do? Like, there's many things, but the thoughts, the automatic thoughts that come up, those thoughts lend themselves to how you're going to feel. So you have a feeling. So you have, I can't find a job. And then you have the thought, oh, I'm not good enough. And then I'm feeling kind of scared. Like, where's my money going to come from? I want to find a job. And you're sad. You're kind of disappointed. You keep getting these rejection letters after rejection letter. So underlying it, you're going to have a belief there. And the belief, I need to get a job on my level to be okay. So I believe in this scenario that if I can't find a job in the area of my expertise, then like I need that to be okay. And without that, I'm going to stay in that uncomfortable, sorrowful, sad feeling. Now, is that true? It is true? No. It does happen. Yes, it happens.
For me, it is true, but only for me.
Yes. Nice. So this sister's saying, for me, it's true. And so that is beautiful because over the last three sessions, what's become really important is that you start to take ownership for how you feel. That an event does not make you feel any particular way. But it's what you think about that event that makes you feel a certain way. Oh, I might have to. Oops. I didn't expect to go down that long. Oh, I bet you should do that. Okay. Oh. Okie dokie. So. So the false belief was, I need to get a job at my level to be okay. Now, we want to begin with reality, and so what could we say instead? No cheating on the sheet. I need a job to be okay. What would be a way to turn it around? What could you say to start improving how you're thinking and feeling? Any ideas? We already looked at the sheet, didn't we? That's okay. So in this scenario, they said, the reality is, this is drama, the practical spirituality. If I'm coming from a spiritual place, I, the being of light, I, the soul, am okay, whether I have a job in my field or not. Right? But do we believe that? So we're really, the ANTS worksheet is all about being able to challenge those beliefs because they're based in temporary happiness and start to base our thinking on our identity of being a soul, a spiritual being. So I'm okay even without a job when I stay calm and content. So there's a virtue, right? Calm and content. So it's an innate quality. I will do well in interviews. So you're not giving up. And you're staying positive. You're identifying some qualities that may be beneficial to finding a job. Now, if we think that once, is that going to change our thinking? Yes. So in my experience, it takes more than one try to get it, right? Like it's like, oh, I make a mistake and then I have a thought about myself that's negative. Like I say, oh, Mary Jean, you're so clumsy. And then, you know, a couple days go by and then same thing, I kind of make a mistake or trip over something or drop something. I'm like, oh, you're so clumsy. And I keep telling myself this. But then it's like, I need to find a way to change that label, right? And so I recognize, well, actually, you're pretty organized. You're usually when you're tired, you drop things. So I must be tired right now. So maybe I need to rest. So I'm reframing it, right? I'm not clumsy, but I'm actually got some skill set here. But then I need to have a statement or a virtue or a break that is going to help when I fall into that negative thinking. So, you know, we have traffic control, right? What is traffic control for? Control the busyness of our minds, get back to I, the being of light, connect with God. Spiritually power up. It's like plugging in the cell phone to charge it up. We're plugging in to charge up. And so, with our thoughts, we need to have a reservoir of little thoughts. You know how there's virtue cards and you can have a little stack of virtue cards in a bowl and you can pick one out? Something like that. I keep them all over my house. And when my son was little, he used to think that they were like magic. And so he loved to pull them. Mom, let's pull a virtue card today. And so it had to be, you get to do it once a day. What time of day do you want to do this? And so, what's our virtue today? What do we get to practice? I don't know if he remembers this today. But it is so... But this is something more pointed than just drawing a virtue card. You want to create a practice for yourself where you have something to when I have the thought, I'm clumsy, that I can go to a place of self-nurturing and have a virtue or something that a statement that I focus on is, I'm a sparkling star. So if I catch myself going, oh, you're so clumsy, and then it's like, oh, Mary Jean, remember, you're God's child and you're a sparkling star. So the inner child in me would carry on, right? Ever see little kids run around and one child might fall, scrape their knee, get up and keep on going because they're so caught up in play? But another child falls, and they don't even scrape themselves, but that jarring of falling, they get upset, and they need so much comfort to get them to, they can't get back into play. We're kind of like this as adults, aren't we? Some things can really upset us, and other things, depending on my stage, depending on my beliefs, and depending on my ability to reframe situations. Does that make sense? So there's a blank. Do you guys have a blank ants worksheet? Do you guys have a blank one in there? Two sheets over. So I think it's 2.3. Some of you may have filled it out already. Yeah, you did. Yeah. Did anybody do that worksheet? Some of us, it's empty, yeah. So, what you want to do with that, and if you've done it already, then maybe you can do it again in your notebook. And what I want you to do is think of an event where you were triggered, where you had either felt sad or irritated or something like that. Just want you to think about that for a second. Come up with your event, write it down. If you want to reflect on your sheet, that's fine too. If you don't have the English version, you might not have it. Do you guys want an English version? Yeah? Do you guys want? No? Okay. Well, we can just use the... Here, we can use this and use your notebook. So the first one is the event. So I want you to think, you're going to follow this worksheet. Does everybody have an event? Have you thought of your event, not about the framework, but did you think of an event that's irritating or saddening? So once you have the event, in reflection, when you're thinking of, when you look at, like, sit back, be a detached observer, seeing yourself in that situation, what is your first automatic thought? What thought comes up? So in the example we had is, I can't get a job, and then it was like, I'm not good enough. So what is your first thought? And sometimes it's hard to, this is where honesty comes in. Get the child to look at this. The child within you will tell you what your first thought was. Because it's the child that's the sensitive side of yourself that's feeling this. You have your automatic thought, then what's your emotion? Sometimes we can identify the emotion before the thought, and that's okay. So then you put the emotion down. And then, what am I believing about myself? What is the false belief that's creating the emotion? So there's an automatic thought, there's an emotion, and then there's a belief that's going on underlying all that, that is why I'm feeling the way I am. So in the reframing, once you find the false belief, you're going to reframe it. Using practical spirituality, reframe it. Sit in the seat of I, the soul, and reframe that false belief from your spiritual beliefs. What does God tell me about myself? What do I know my spiritual strengths are? So you're writing out a new spiritual perspective on that false belief. The reframing can take more time. Sometimes finding a break and a virtue to inculcate can be easier. How is this exercise? Very good. Was it difficult? Is it difficult to find the reframing one and the false belief? Or was it easy? Easy. For you, it's easy. You already did it. Did you find it easy or hard when you did it, though? Oh, something between that. So it was effort. You had to make effort. And making effort, when something takes a little bit of effort, the likelihood that you're going to remember the process increases. Right? Because you've had to put some time and energy into it. When it comes too easy, flies away. Yeah. Any questions about the ANT worksheet? Is it something you think you'll be able to use in your life to make some spiritual progress? So that reframing the reality and then the spiritual perspective, you need to take your spirituality and make it practical. So what does that mean? It means looking at what qualities or my understanding of my spirituality. So what does Baba tell me? My understanding of knowledge and how I'm filtering that into a practical way to manage my life, right? So I might think that I need a certain virtue, but how do I make that practical? How do I apply it in my life? What does it look like? So really visualizing yourself, if you're using, thinking I'm a capable soul who can remain calm and balanced when I approach a problem. So then I want to picture myself being calm and relaxed and present when I'm problem solving something, right? So I want to see myself, you know, you want to have that vision. You want to see yourself being successful. So sometimes visualization can be helpful in that way. But you want to make it practical, right? It's not just words on a piece of paper that feels good when you're in meditation. But it's actually something that becomes a part of you. Oh, yeah. So Sister Nima was just saying that Sister Sharona was saying that yukti of reminding yourself, I am good. I am good. So that would be a break or a virtue. So that last part, finding something that brings you back to your essence. Right? That's what the break and the virtue is about. So if I have that thought, and I like that. I've always got a stop sign in my head. That's what I use. And then I use a virtue. But I think on the stop sign I should write in bold letters, I am good. I think I'm going to change that one. Drama is good. I am good. God is good. Drama is good. Sister Genty said that in one of her classes. What's that? It was in one of Baba Smurley's. Yeah, Sister Genty doesn't make these things up. I think she gets them from Baba. Yeah, so you guys are thinking this way now. See, these things are popping up for you, so you're working it. That's exactly what we wanted. So you keep doing that. That is practical spirituality. Good job. Are you guys proud of yourselves? Because I'm sure proud of you. Yes, drama is helping. Ah, perfect. So let's move forward. And we are going to... Oh, yes, here we go. So you guys can just sit comfortably. Sister Indra's going to fetch some surprises for us. I bet you guys can guess what that is. It's so nice in Madhavan because everything's taken care of, right? Like, in some ways, you know, back home we have a whole apartment or house or where we have everything and we move around and we come to Madhavan and then we're sharing rooms and, you know, we're washing our undergarments in a bucket and we're taking laundry to a bin. And we think, oh, like it's, you know, you feel like it's laborious, but it actually isn't. In my experience, anyways, after you adjust, it's like you're not going to buy groceries, you're not having to cook, you're not cleaning the house, you're only having to look after you. And the system is so well done, you know, in that. Because this is all about me. I'm here for my spiritual study to be, you know, with others that are on the same path so that together we can change our sanskars and change our... And so, reframing. So the power to adjust comes up, right? And I noticed some people are coming in. Were you guys at the ring ceremony? Yeah? No? Had other things? Yeah? Did you get a ring, brother? Oh, okay. Just some people just came in. I thought maybe that's where they were coming from. Okay, so we're sitting comfortably. And we are going to do a reflection. Okay? And we're just reflecting. It's all about the inner child. And we've talked lots yesterday about dialoguing and not being critical of ourselves, right? And that the child in us needs that nurturance. It's the one that, it's the side of ourselves that's sensitive. And that we've acknowledged that the more mature side is where the work has to be done in terms of moving from being critical to being nurturing, being loving. And so one of the things that can help with that process is learning how to nurture that inner sensitive side of yourself, or as Sister Diane calls it, the inner child. So sitting comfortably, breathing in the light of peace, I let go of tension in my body. Peace is deep within me as I withdraw and go in. I'm able to recognize that place of peace. It is I, the being of light, I, the soul, that is peaceful. This innate quality of peace supports me supply the soul with a foundation of peace, am wise and nurturing. This wise side of myself allows for silence, silent space, calmness, peacefulness, so that I can bring that more sensitive side in front of me. I make room, safe, quiet, still space for my inner child. I look at my inner child. How old is my inner child? As I look at my inner child with so much love, I tell myself what I like about him or her. After telling my inner child what I like about them, the child would like to say something, and I am here to listen with love. I listen to what the inner child within me has to say. Accepting the feelings of the child, I respond, what would I like to tell the child within me? Tell the child that God loves him or her very, very, very much. Now imagine a beautiful golden-aged garden and see you and your inner child can be there. You can bring a friend. Perhaps you bring God. Perhaps there's other souls there that love the inner child. or simply you and your child are there to play. In this garden, you see a flower that symbolizes the quality of your inner child. And you give it to that child. As you play in your garden with your child, with so much attention, love, lightness, the child feels valued, feels loved, accepted. You invite God into your garden. Holding the hand of the child, holding the hand of God, you bring your attention back to the room. Om Shanti. Were you able to listen to your inner child? Yeah. Did they have something to say? Were you able to follow that visualization? Yeah. How do you feel? Light. You feel light. Rest. Any pardon? Very happy. Yeah. There's something when we can acknowledge all side of ourselves and bring it together, it creates harmony and it lightens us up, right? And the more that we can play with that relationship with ourselves, the more stability we have. And with stability comes contentment. And so imagine in the way you are right now, if you were to go to Baba's room, how do you think your meditation would then be? Probably that much more connected and powerful. So when we're feeling, you know, disconnected or distracted, especially when it comes to Amritvela and evening meditation, right? If we are sometimes taking a moment to check in with that sensitive side of yourself, that inner child, and just say, hey, what's going on? Sometimes I will say, like, hey, it's time to settle in here or come snuggle in with me. Because, you know, the child is playful. Sometimes they're not ready to settle down. They want to be doing whatever they're doing. And it's just finding loving ways to encourage that creative, playful side of ourselves to come in. And other times, when you're feeling sad or sorrowful or just kind of not totally content, then again, that's probably a moment where you can check in with the child, the sensitive side of myself, and then you can have that dialogue. The more integrated the mature side of you and the sensitive side of you are, the more stability you will create, and eventually it will keep progressing you spiritually. So that's... Any questions about that, or anybody have anything they want to share? I know that the Thai group's been so attentive, but they don't. You guys aren't saying a lot, and I'm guessing it's partly because you don't speak English. But this lovely sister here could hear what you have to say and repeat in English for us. So please, if you feel there's something you want to say, say it. So now you're going to take your notebooks, and you've just had this really brief little moment in the playground with your child.
Since no one else is sharing, so I thought of sharing. In yesterday's session, Sister told us that we should, I am not my mistake. We should not relate ourselves with our mistakes. And I was just thinking about it, and it gave me an insight, like when we relate with our mistakes and find ourselves guilty in the same way, and then we are not kind with ourselves, like we are criticizing. And similarly, this is what we do with others also. So this was an extended insight that when we look at others, we find their mistakes and we treat them as if the person is the mistake. So this also helped to identify and behave with the other person, means feeling as if he is not the mistake. Mistake is different and the person is different. The soul is different. So this insight, which applies to me, it can be applied to others also. So if we apply this, then our behavior towards people who are not on the right track can also be very loving. We do not connect them, combine them with their mistakes. We can just see them, this is a pure, peaceful soul and Baba's child who is working through his own sanskars.
Thank you, Ben. Isn't that beautiful? So she took the leap and went over to the how to view others, the soul conscious vision. And when we see something, when we're perceiving something negative about somebody else, how to change that thinking there as well. So very pointed, thank you. Okay, we have our notebooks. And we just came from the playground with our child. But now you want to write a beautiful message. So a blank piece of paper. And the message can be a picture. Unfortunately, I didn't bring any crayons or colors with me. I apologize. Because I really should bring some nice paper with me, and then you guys could have made a little card or something. Oh, I didn't know. I should have asked. So on a blank piece of paper, you're either going to write a message or a poem or a love letter, or you can draw something, whatever it is, something to inspire you. It's a gift to your inner child. Okay? So I'll give you about 5 minutes to do that. How are you doing with your exercise? I know some people got something done. I had a sneak peek. Do you want more time? Or are you okay? Do they need more time? We're finished? Okay. Okay. Does anybody want to share their creation? Oh. That's beautiful. Thank you. Did everybody hear that? Yeah? Good. Anybody else want to share?
Yes.
Her inner child is sunny. And a smile. Oh, yeah, and a smile.
Without you, life would be boring.
Without you, life would be boring. Oh. She had a list of virtues, and she's quite intoxicated. Anybody else? Come. This brother's really intoxicated because he just came from getting his marriage ring.
So my inner child now is with Baba, always giving and giving, giving. So it's like an angel, always giving, no taking anything, no expectations, no giving, always giving, giving, giving. And peace and happy, so many, etc. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's all on our faces, right? You see on the face when people are happy. Yeah, when the integration and the child can come through, then we are like bright as can be.
This is my inner child, an angel who is always dancing. So I told my inner child, I'll keep you free all the time.
Oh, so sweet. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else? It's okay if you do and okay if you don't. Okay.
I love you so much. Through my dealing with you, I learned so much from you, because your interaction with me is so honest and not based on reaction. Always take me back to innocence and the sparkling star.
Thank you. Welcome. We just finished writing a little note to our inner child after we did a visualization where the nurturing parent and the inner child went on a little play date in the garden. So, yeah, so then they were just writing or drawing or whatever came, whatever motivated them to kind of integrate. So that's something you might want to do. Yeah, but I'm glad you came. Anybody else? So, yeah, this inner child, you guys are getting it, hey? You guys look so intoxicated. So, here's a thought, and this was written by a philosopher, a Greek philosopher. As is a tale, so is life. What matters is not how long it is, but how good it is. Yeah. And that Greek philosopher was at the time that Jesus Christ was wandering the earth. As Jesus. Or as Christ, I should say. Jesus was the man and Christ was the pure soul that came, right? We're going to do that at the end. Okay, little mind experiment. So this is kind of playful, and it's only a few minutes, so you don't have to sit back or anything. It's just a story. So imagine that all there is to eat in the world is bananas and cabbage. And it's healthy, it's a balanced diet. We don't know anything else. We fry them, we boil them, we slice them, dice them, we eat them whole. But any which way we want, but we eat cabbage and bananas. Only this. Breakfast, dinner, and supper. That's what we do. And we're quite content. Because this is our food. Okay? And then, all of a sudden, along comes a friend who brings mangoes and papayas. And cuts them up and serves them. Now, what do I want? Now I'm comparing, right? Now it's like, now I'm going, well, the mango and the papaya taste better than the banana and the cabbage. So starts comparison. So with food, we can always find something we like better than something else. But when we come to thinking about ourselves, comparing to others isn't, it's a way of putting ourselves down. It's a way of minimizing our own self. We're each unique. We each have unique qualities and skills and ways of being. And we're each on a journey. So, you know, if we can always find someone who's smarter, who's more attractive, who might have better, different talents, that doesn't mean better. Right? It's just different. So that comparison, when you catch yourself, it's kind of like, you know, judgment's pretty simple to catch. But comparison is a subtle thing. And really starting to, like with the child, when we just played with the child, and you know when we did the visualization of tell the child something you like about them, like give them that. It's the same. It's seeing the virtue in others, like Sister Nimu shared, is you might see a weakness, but then, or we might see something really good about a person and envy that. We're comparing, right? Comparison has its place in the second half of the cycle, and it's a gateway to vice, right? Ego, attachment, like this. So throw out the rule, the measuring stick, throw it out the window. How do you feel when you're comparing? Kind of doesn't feel right, does it? It might not be a really solid, like, negative emotion, but it doesn't feel right. So, as yogis, we want to get in tune with that nature in ourselves of, if it doesn't feel quite right, stop, look, listen. So you want to look around externally, but really what I'm talking about when I say stop, look, listen, is internally. Internally, how am I thinking? What am I noticing? What am I telling myself? What are my automatic thoughts? And what's the belief that it's triggering? Because those beliefs are tied to our sanskars, right? And am I triggering an old sanskar that I need to go dormant until next, till it's needed in the copper age kind of thing? So, comparison. How do I feel when that happens? Paying attention. This is why you want that inner child nurtured so that they're honest and then those sensitivities can start to uproot, right? So how do I feel? If something doesn't feel quite right, use some silence and check in with your child. Stop, look, listen. It's one of my breaks. Stop, look, listen. It's kind of like you do that before you cross the street, because it's safe. In spirituality and in our Brahman life, internally, stop, look, listen. Stop. Use that during traffic control. Yeah, so comparison, the question here is, does it increase your feeling of being not good enough or unworthy? Yeah, it kind of does. It either puts you into superiority or inferiority when you're comparing, but it causes division. And division is not, that's a duality, and that doesn't belong in, angels don't divide. So soul consciousness. Yeah, if you're valuing, so Sister Nemo's asking, if you're valuing someone else and not your own, it's a form of comparison. Yeah. So you can value someone else, but not at the expense of devaluing yourself. Then you're employing comparison. You need to, valuing someone else isn't dependent on how well you're doing. And valuing yourself is not dependent on how well others around you are doing. So I was at breakfast this morning, we were reflecting on the panel discussion from last night with Sister Gopi and Brother Alan and Sister Patricia. And, I mean, Gopi had such deep, like, churnings and, like, and she was kind of like the one doing a lot of the talking. But did you notice the royalty and the self-respect each one of them had on that stage? They each spoke from their own personal experiences about what the topic meant to them. And they didn't shy down when somebody else spoke. They all participated and took turn. None of them went into a shadow. That's true self-respect. So they weren't comparing with each other. They were just sharing. I thought it was a very royal scene. I was just awed. And the topic itself was perfectly in line with what we were studying. So, yes, so she said, stop. What do I do? Look. Look, what are my feelings and emotions? And listen to my inner child. That's very lovely. Yes. Thank you. Beautiful. Soul consciousness. In soul consciousness, there can be no comparisons. So, I mean, this is the goal, right? This is the goal, is we want to be soul conscious. We want to, practical spirituality is about spirituality in action. Walking angels. Yes, we're in these dense bodies of matter, but how many of you have seen yogis giving drishti and you see their body of light and you're not seeing the denseness of their bodies? Yeah. Can you envision that yourself? Can you be that yourself? I know when I'm feeling really spiritually powerful, I feel taller, lighter, and I just feel floaty, you know? So practical spirituality. But underlying that, I'm describing sort of an experience. There's contentment, happiness, love, peace. But in soul consciousness, we do not experience comparison. So if I'm in comparison or if I find myself thinking that way, then I know I'm thinking ordinary. And when I embarked on this path, I maybe didn't realize I was going for extraordinary, but I do know that now. And so, ordinary doesn't have a place in the world, in my world anymore. But you might come up with another saying for yourself, right? However it is that you can get to that place of spiritually empowered. The measuring, so we already said, put the measuring stick away. So you want to practice that lovingly accepting yourself. So when you're thinking ordinary, just recognize that maybe your energy is a little depleted. And when the energy is depleted, what happens to the child? The child is uncomfortable. The child's uncomfortable when the spiritual energy is depleted. And so I need to talk to my inner child. I need to connect with Baba. I need to recharge. Yeah. So a lot of those exercises that you've learned over the last few days, when you get stuck and you can't, that's when you want to look at the little pamphlets and say, hey, what's standing out to me? Oh, I'm going to use this exercise like this. Do we need a stress break?
No.
No. Yeah.
The difference between value and compare.
Value and compare? The difference between value and compare. So valuing is like the value of something, like a gem or a diamond. Like when you have a gem, you look at its qualities and you see, okay, what value does it have? That's not a good example, but I'm just thinking value is in terms of just appreciating and seeing the worth of something. And comparing is when we measure it up to, against something else, like the cabbage and the banana against the mango and the papaya. So mango and papaya, most people love those fruits. And cabbage and banana, they're kind of ordinary in every culture. Like cabbage is kind of a mainstay, and bananas are year round, you can have them, you know, but papaya and mango, they're seasonal, right? And they're juicy and yummy. So it's like, pardon? It can be, but Yeah, sometimes. But comparison is when you're looking at the value of something in comparison to something else, rather than just the value of it alone. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question? Go ahead. Yeah, that's an example of comparison for sure. So she was valuing that, but then she compared to herself, and it created a sense of inferiority, superiority. So valuing something and valuing ourselves, valuing our qualities, valuing others for their uniqueness and their strengths, and is in itself is a good practice. Soon as comparison comes in, it's like the automatic negative thought that comes in and kind of, it's like having one rotten apple in the barrel and then the other apples start to get affected. As soon as comparison comes in, it affects the value. Changes the value. But good question, very good question. Because this is the slippery slope with the way we think, right? This is something as simple as comparing, just opens the door for Maya. Identify. Oh, here's the fun part. I like this one. You guys get to go, get in little groups. I know I don't think it said that on there, but that's how I do this exercise. So exercise 4.1. You can go in like groups 3 or 4 or 2. It's up to you. But small little groups. Don't leave anyone out. So look around the room and make sure everyone's included. Okay? We're the ones that include everyone. Right? You work it out with your teammates. You get to have a good discussion and work it out. Yeah, do it. Page 13 in the English. It's page 13 in the English handouts. Exercise 4.1. How are we doing? Om Shanti. How are we doing? Did you get it filled in yet? Or do you need some more time? A little more time? Yeah, I'll give you a few more minutes. All right. Did you know there's a little secret to this exercise? Did you know it was a trick? Are we coming back? What's that? Tough exam. If I achieve, like if I can get into pure soul consciousness, what powers do I have? All of them. Yes. So I don't know if this chart appears accurate, but what I can tell you, everybody's excited over here, is that if I am to achieve the Karmateet stage, I am going to be full of all powers. Yeah. So there's really no right or wrong answer. I know people are probably busy writing these numbers down. Not so important. It's fun to play with because I might draw on certain powers in a certain way in response to self-respect or clarity in a situation. That same balance of power may not work for you. You might draw on something completely different because you have different, you're a unique person who experiences life in your way. Om Shanti. And so pretty much you need the balance of powers. But it's kind of a fun way to look at how to play with the powers. So if I'm having a, you know, if I make a mistake and I'm wondering, oh geez, what's going on? Like maybe I notice that I'm having some ordinary thinking. What power, what spiritual power might I draw on to help me figure out the reality and the practical spirituality in this? So spiritual powers are fun to play with. This is just a little taste test of a exercise, right? Any questions about that? Pretty much, yes. Yes. But it made you think, didn't it? Oh. I know, that's kind of the fun part of this. Yeah. I heard somebody say, I think you need all the powers. He was on track. Did you say something? Yes. The more elevated we become, the more developed these powers will be. And eventually, in a Karmateet stage, pure point of full spiritual energy that mirrors my father, right? That mirrors Baba. That's the goal, right? Yeah. Good job, you guys. So that is one of the first four lessons in Raj Yoga, is the spiritual powers. So when you feel like you're lacking, it doesn't hurt. There's also to go back over that lesson on the spiritual powers. But there's also an Aviact book called the Spiritual Powers, or is it the Eight Spiritual Powers? And on the front of that Aviact book, it's got the picture of the eight powers. And it is, I've worn out that book from reading it over and over again. It's excerpts from Bhabdada's Aviact Murlis. And there's different powers identified there. I mean, virtues like from A to Z in there. So it's a really worthwhile book. You can get it at the bookstore up in the building over here. I think it's spirit. eight spiritual powers? It's an Aviak book. You just ask, they'll know. Powers of the soul? Is it called Powers of the Soul? Yes. Yeah, there's more than eight in the book. Is it by Nirvairbhai? Okay, there's a book called Spiritual Powers by Nirvairbhai, but this one is one of those Aviak books. You know, where there's all these Aviak, and it's not authored. Yeah, the one I'm thinking of, but there might be another one. So if that's something that's of interest to you, it's definitely worth having some resource material so that you can explore and create exercises for yourself. It's kind of a fun way of playing with our spirituality, right? All right. Oh, did you guys get those? Did you guys want to see that? But you guys know it's 1 to 8. It's all of them. Everybody's taking pictures. Pictures, pictures. Okay, I'm going to change the slide. Hurry up. 1, 2, 3. Click! So in talking about power, the soul has power. But right now, when we're still working on developing and expanding ourselves, the powers kind of fluctuate, right? You've seen that high self-esteem is an expression of a powerful soul, right? We're kind of coming to some conclusions. We're trying to understand what self-esteem is. I wrote on the board over here, true self-esteem is when I love me and I know that God loves me. So it's when those two come together. Low self-esteem happens in a soul that has lost its power. So how did we get to that state of low self-esteem? Naturally, over time, we lost our spiritual power. And we became body conscious and we started to identify. Now, we're accelerating back to our full soul conscious powerful state. So, but we need some help in doing that. We need some exercises. We need to be aware, conscientious. This kind of says it all, doesn't it? Power of the soul. So we come, we find the Raj Yoga, and we start to learn to meditate, and we notice after the first time that we leave a Raj Yoga center, we feel happy. That was a wonderful experience. I have to go back. And we start to fill up. But then as we kind of carry along on this journey of self-transformation, we notice that sometimes our power fluctuates. And it is because there's a leakage somewhere. There's a tap that's opening up and draining our power, right? And so, of course, clean living is part of our lifestyle. So our yogi lifestyle, we're vegetarian. No onions, no garlic. And do you guys understand why no onions and garlic? Then, yeah, it activates the pituitary and it interferes with being able to get into a soul conscious state. So it kind of aggravates the mind, aggravates the brain. So then the connection with the soul to the body gets interrupted. No, yes, you're shaking your head. It's an impurity too, like it's a toxin, right? Onions and garlic are toxins. So they're kind of toxic to the body. So we want clean living. So the actions that elevate the self. So not only on those grosser levels of brahmacharya and vegetarian diet and non-violence, but we want actions that are actually pure. And it's much deeper than those external things of following the principles, but it's actually getting into the way we think and being clean and clear. And that's where the Murlis come in. And that's why listening to Baba, and sometimes it might seem repetitive, there's a reason why Baba continues to tell us. Because we haven't got there yet. So we need to hear it and churn it and make it our own. And this is really what self-esteem is all about, right? And so clean living contributes to our self-esteem. Beliefs that support the self. So how am I thinking about myself? So remember at the beginning of the course we identified I was body conscious, and so I identified with a lot of external things. All of that's temporary. Now I'm identifying with I, the soul, the being of light, a child of God. And so we're starting to change our beliefs. That takes time. Be patient with yourself. After you leave here today, you're going to notice probably more ups and downs than less because you're more aware. You're going to catch your little inner voice. You're going to get sensitive about something, and hopefully there's something from this course that you can think, oh yeah, I'm going to do that little dialogue with my inner child. So the goal is, so we open that tap at the bottom. So every time we meditate, we increase our spiritual power, right? I have remembrance of Baba, may increase my power. What opens the tap and drains it is action that's not right. So any action that's ordinary or based in body conscious. Old sanskars, old ways of thinking. And it's not to get negative towards yourself or frustrated with yourself when those things are happening. They've just been there a long time and it just takes time to change. So being kind with yourself. Any questions about this slide? Does it kind of help you round it up? Like I like the picture, I like diagrams. Kind of gives it all in one snapshot. Oh, we're not doing that, I don't think. Just a second. Oh, right. We didn't do that. So yes, there's a sheet in your pack. You had it twice. It was at the front of the pack and it's at the back. It's 4.2 in the English version. And I think you have it in the Thai version too. And you're going to take a few minutes and you're going to rate your self-esteem. So how it works is, it looks like there's two boxes there, but when you read across, line one, in the Thai. Yeah, it's also in 1.1 in the English, and it's also 4.2 in the English. The wind is picking up. Okay, so everybody got their sheet? So when you read across line one, you've got feels worthy, and then on the low self-esteem, you got feels worthless. On a scale of 1, 10 being high, feeling worthy, 1 would be feeling worthless. You give yourself a number. So you don't give yourself two numbers. You rate yourself between those two qualities. And same with 2, happy and sad. And then 3, inner peace and inner turmoil. Okay? So it's a sliding scale. Where am I at on that scale between those two points? Okay? So I'll give you a few minutes to do that exercise. So this true self-esteem, we understand, is a work in progress. Yeah? No? Yes. It's a work in progress. Okay? So you can fill this out today, and then you know, a month from now, you can look at that list again, rate yourself again, and see where you're at. Because sometimes you will fluctuate. Some numbers might go up, some might go down. The idea is that they eventually stay up between, you know, 7 to 10, 8 to 10, and eventually 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, which is 100% full. Multi-million times fortunate is our inheritance. I love me. God loves me. So in the back of the pack is a meditation that is God's cloak of love. That's for you to take and practice on your own. Make it your own, change the words, whatever you need to do. And I want to thank everybody who showed up and gave your full attention to your inner child. And it's been a delight spending the last four mornings with all of you. I feel like now I might not know the body's name, but the face, and it's the soul. I feel like we've spent the last four mornings together, and I feel like I know each of you a little bit better than I did before we started. Yes. So at the beginning of this morning, some of you weren't here when I said this, so I want you to think about, what am I taking away from today, or from the last 4 days? So what did I get out of this course? And then a virtue or a quality that really shines through. So right now, for right now, what is my special virtue? Okay? And then you're going to take turns saying that into the mic. So I've just shared with you that it's been honestly a pleasure. Such royal company, such attentive Baba's children. All of you are so attentive, engaged, and open. The sharing has been enriching, not only for yourselves, but for everyone else around. And remember, we're on this journey together. We all go home together. We all go to the land of peace together. So we're not leaving anybody behind. Okay? So keep working on yourself. Keep building your faith. Keep building your spiritual power. So who wants to go first? Who wants to share what they're taking away and what their virtue is that they're really resonating with today? The longer it takes, then the Toli goes stale. There's Toli and blessings. So the Thai group, you guys are going to speak in Thai. And there's no running out before Toli and blessings. None now. You have to stay. Two brothers escaped already. She says, thank you. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Baba. And you did today? Oh, I'm so excited for you. Oh, you see the smile on her face. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Okay.
Right now, I'm feeling very emotional, but happy. You know, the joy in the heart, when the heart has opened more and more. And so joy is a very great and loving virtue. I think it comes with love. I don't think it can exist without love. I have really loved being in this class with all of you, and especially the ones that, when we got to work in the small groups. And there are a number of things, of course, I will take with me, but my sense is that the work with the inner child was very, very, very powerful for me. The nurturing parent and the inner child, I will use this when I see difficulties, upset, frustrated, annoyed. I get that way sometimes. And then I always realize it's with myself, it isn't so much with the other person. But I also wanted to share with you, thank you for being such wonderful listeners yesterday and listening to my issue, and I did resolve it with the friend who brought me into the Brahma Kumaris. So I have even more love and gratitude as a result of being in this class. And I thank you for that, Mary Jean, and I thank all of you.
Did you feel her heart? Her heart is so big. Okay. Cello, cello.
Shandy. Actually, I didn't come first day, but that day, I felt always my heart say, self-esteem, self-esteem, self-esteem. Then I said, why I am repeating myself, self-esteem, self-esteem. Then second day, they have the Pandavavan festival. Then again, self-esteem, self-esteem, self-esteem. Then I decided, okay, stop to go to Pandavavan and come back to self-esteem. Actually, I didn't know why, but it's a good feeling for me to understand myself. I am more not a child, inner child. Then I had a chat with our sister, so then I said to her yesterday, I understand I am more inner child, so I want to look after myself as a nurturing parent. So then I am taking as a, I am converting myself as a nurturing parent from here and bring me, my inner child carefully to homeland, then grow it well. It's a long journey, I understood. And big thing also I got, another thing is that sometimes I compare with myself to others. So that's very... That is not, that is from Kali Yuga sanskar. So I have to get rid of that one. So that is very, 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 very valuable thing for me to increase my self-respect. So, and also when I went yesterday to Pandavan, there's a slogan there. You are the unique actor. No one can play your part. So that also increase. Oh, it's really unique actor. So there is no comparison. So that also very helpful for me. Thank you so much for delivering these things.
Beautiful.
Just to say, Frank, I can't believe at all. I have now full faith in me. Somehow when we have a chew, very high on my, I have faith now. Because of much of lessons we learn. So I have hope, no any failure in my life in the year after, and also I will pass, and I will pass others also to apply and focus on this which we studied. And also, I heartfully thanks to the Didi, I say Didi, and thanks a lot us to be awoken the values of these we are few on that was from Sri Lanka, so we are all all over the places, so that's why we are happy, So we hope that again when we visit Madhava, Didi has to be take such a class and more and more. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, Baba. Baba.
Thank you.
I didn't want to miss out any point, so I wrote it down. It was such an insightful course with so much motherly love. Right? And we have always been into a habit of taking sorrow in very smallest of things. And we have always been looking out onto others to take care of us. But now, after this course, I feel liberated. Because I understand the technology of dealing and healing ourselves. We now need no one and nothing else to make us happy and stable. I feel independent and have a tool to deal with the negative aspects which we face every day. This course will improve my relationship with myself and my relationship with Baba. And this will also improve the quality of my yoga with Baba. This course was much needed. I knew some inner work has to be done, and how it has to be done, for that Baba sent Sister Mary Jane to us. And one last experience, when in the morning we started with meditation, and when Sister was sitting here giving us drishti, then I could clearly visualize her as an angel with wings, and what Baba was vibrating through her was pure love, which we all need.
First of all, I would like to thank you, Sister Mary. For me, I feel that she's Mother Mary and Angel Mary also, because I have a time to talk with her in the group in a few days ago. I know that she can use this through self-esteem course in the practical way, because she told me about it. She got sick 6 years ago, right? And she also become a mother also, so she has her own child, and she know how to take care of herself and family, including a Lokic family too. I feel that when I come to this class, the angelic vibration when you meditate with us, I feel that this heals. It's the healing in the atmosphere already. And the events that you give in the worksheet is my situation for 2 years ago. And I just learned from my friends that learned from this course before, but I don't have chance to come. It is first time for me to attend this course. And I use the process with myself and Baba to healing myself. And I have time to share with Sister Mary before. When I met her, I have a pearl of tears because of her loving and caring is healing already. I think in this course, I would like of you to bring to heal yourself and heal others, not to your speaking, but your feelings, your vibration, as Sister Mary, my Mother Mary, and my Angel Mary.
Beautiful. It sounds like you've had a beautiful experience. And everybody's experience is so unique. Right? But collectively we're doing it together with the rain of Baba's love, right? Yeah, thank you. More to share? Anybody else want to come and share what you're taking away and a virtue? You don't have to speak a lot, but just you can be brief. Yeah.
Thank you all, because this course I've heard about many years ago, and I listened to some sessions through this, Brother David, maybe? Yes. So I was very enthusiastic to have the chance to have it, and I encouraged every time a group from my country comes here, I encourage them, do this course. It's very beneficial. So this is this time I had the chance to come here. And it was really the way I expected and more, because it's very loving, caring. And I, from yesterday till today, I discovered so many powerful points inside me that I've been forgetting. After Baba's Gyan, you see the journey and difficulties and dealing with so many challenges, sometimes you forget that you have powers inside. And yesterday I was sharing with my sister, she's with the room in with the same room, that this course reminded me with a course I took previously to learn English, yeah, because English is not my native language. And that time was very difficult for me in my journey, but the English course was very empowering, you know? So the same feeling came back to me yesterday, and I restored so many of my power, faith in myself, so that, yes, I can do it. Now I have Baba, now I have the Brahmin family, I have knowledge and all of those things. So it was very beautiful. And yesterday evening also, I had some experience, because sometimes when you get criticism or someone give you an advice in a way that is not proper or something, you get hurt. For me, my inner child is so sensitive, you see. So yesterday I could deal with the problem very powerfully and with a smile. And today, today in the morning when I was sharing with my father, my looking father, because he is with me now, I was sharing with him this experience, so he was so surprised, you are making progress, so that's very good. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Baba. Does anybody else have anything to say? Come.
Om Shanti. So I've been like a part-timer, but my ears were wide open. And really, it's been a great awakening for my soul. Although we many years in Gyan, but as you were all admiring Mary Jean's qualities, which has been given by Baba himself, those qualities were so powerful that her pace of actually giving this course and her undivided attention for all of us and her unconditional love really touched the heart. Although I was doing the other work at the back, I just couldn't take my attention away from what was going on in front. And everything she was doing was for me. I said, this self-esteem is for me. I cannot be in my childhood days anymore. I have to become spiritually mature. And also, like most of you shared, about the inner child and the nurturing parent. And what I'm taking away is to use the nurturing parent for myself, because I know I'm very hard on myself. And I'm really empowered. I feel so powerful internally. Spiritual power. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Very nicely said, Sister Indra. Do you want to come?
You're welcome.
Om Shanti. Good morning. Also have heard from this course many years ago, and I was sent to go and participate, but by that time I have listened to so many lectures and courses, so I said no way to myself, not to the one who sent me. Though I took a copy from this course, and like one sister also shared, you listen to it and try to do it, no? But this time I feel I was ready for it, because that is also what I'm acknowledging for myself, and I'm doing my best to do. Like we come to Baba to listen to Baba and to ourselves, and then the rest come. But I had a habit of listening to others, and it's still there, but I see it's diminishing as I'm listening now more to the self. And I was very grateful to Sister Mary Jean also, because I could feel that whatever words she used, it's like she has experienced it. Not like, she has experienced it. And that is also what touched my heart, that, like Baba said, we are not parrots. And that is for me a sign that if the instrument could have done it, experienced it, it's also experienceable for me. So I'm very happy to be here, although yesterday and today I was a little sleepy. But I was kept asking myself, how come I'm so sleepy? Still I'm not so out of it, but anyhow, the parts that I follow, I will keep following, and as we have the worksheets, so from there I will still work on. Thank you, sister.
Thank you. It's such, every time I facilitate the true self-esteem, every group is a little bit different. The delivery, my heart opens up in different ways, and I never know what examples I'm going to share. And I surprise myself in what I learn. So as the facilitator, I feel like you as my audience are my teachers. And I walk away, because you guys get one teacher, but I have 50 teachers. Isn't this marvelous? Yeah. So thank you, everyone. Anybody else want to say anything? Anybody? Are we ready? Yeah. Oh, so sweet. Yeah. Thank you for coming. Are we ready for Toli and blessings? Thank you again, everyone. And may tomorrow's meeting with Bob Dada be you fully open-hearted. Show up. Take that drishti. It's just as powerful as when he was coming to Om Shanti Bhavan. And really, really soak in the love. Listen to the messages. And I'll see you next. If I see you in the dining room, I see you in a class or something, don't be shy. If you have any questions, as long as you're seeing me around, please approach me. Okay? Om Shanti.